Blog Talk Radio.
All the young will know.
Somewhere else praying. We were on the line. They said you were on the line, but you weren't saying anything. We haven't heard your voice. So I don't know if I'm going to come on anymore on Saturday night because you're not there on Saturday night. I come on Friday night. God bless you and thank God for your time that you shared with the Blog Talk family. We really, really appreciate you. And we pray that God bless you, bless your family, and bless all those that you're connected to. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that God would honor this word today. We're going to talk part two of this message, Truth for Christian Living. And where the best place to do is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was giving his disciples instructions on how to live, what's the best way to live, and what to say and what to do. He was saying to them in his Beatitudes, hallelujah. I've heard Pastor Washington preach it sometime about a year or two ago. It was very good. I was thinking about it last night. But the Lord has laid this on my heart to teach on today before I go to the stores. And Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for the word that's about to go forth. We ask, O God, that you bless the four corners of the earth. Let the four angels that hold back the four winds of the earth take this word this morning and take it into the hearts and minds of people in the many cities, many nations and continents, O God, and let it not return void, but let it accomplish what it's sent out to do today. Lord, we ask that this word be an awakening word for those that are still sleeping in the gates, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, now when he saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples approached him, and he opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These chapters 5 to 7 contains Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which describes how members of the kingdom of heaven should live. Jesus' statement in verse 3 to 12 are known as the Beatitudes. This is the first 5 primary speeches by Jesus and set the tone for the rest of Matthew's gospel. He went up the mountain. Jesus giving new instructions on a mountain reflects Exodus chapter 19 to 24. His comparison was various with various points of the law. Matthew chapter 5 verse 21, 27, 31, 33, 38 and 43 alludes to Moses' mountains provide the setting for significant teaching and events in Matthew chapter 17 and 1, 24 and 3, 26 and 30, 28 and 16. Jesus sat down on the mountain. In Jesus' day, the most important persons in a group would sit while the rest stood. Rabbi sat while giving instructions. His disciples, Matthew does not mention how many of Jesus' followers were disciples in the full sense. His disciples approach him. The language of this verse reflects Moses' reception of the law at Mount Sinai. He opening his mouth, a common idiom that emphasize the solemnity of his teaching in Job chapter 3, verse 1. Blessed, the Greek word used here, makarios, meaning happy or fortunate, often indicates someone who is favored by God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs, or their expectation, their hope, is in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed are they are the ones who mourn, because they will be comforted. The poor in spirit refers to those in Jesus' day who recognize and bear their desperate plight and who long for God's restoration through the Messiah. Kingdom of heaven. The crowd was already familiar with the terminology throughout John the Baptist's proclamation. They anticipated a time of restoration. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. John preached the kingdom. That was his message. The ones who mourn can refer to those who mourn for Israel, for their plight when in its present condition. Roman occupation would seem like a lack of God's presence, impoverishment. Alternatively, it could refer to those who mourn over their personal sin or are currently enduring difficult times, because they will be comforted. Those who mourn for the unfailing condition of Israel will be comforted when the kingdom is fulfilled. In the new kingdom of God's new covenant will restore what had been lost due to violations of the old covenant. The meek. Hallelujah. Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. Verse 5. Blessed are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Verse 6. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. A lot of times we are wondering why we're not blessed. We see people that are hungry and thirsty, and we have what they need, and we find an excuse not to give them what they need. We say, why can't they find a job? Why can't they do this? Why can't they? Why? When God says, God has positioned us to be their helper, to be their supplier. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. When we go out to work, God give us a job. Know that we are retired. But God gives us a job so we can make some funds. And sometimes more money than we expect, we're able to bless those in need. And we don't puff ourselves up about it or brag about it. But he gives us the wisdom and the knowledge how to make funds. So we use those funds to help others and help ourselves, our friends, and those that we don't know, personally know, we help. He says in verse 6, blessed are those are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you have a hunger and thirst in you for righteousness, you're going to be filled. Because you're going to go after it. It's just like when we were in the world. There were some things that we wanted to have. We wanted to have some things. And we wanted to go some places. And we pressed on. In spite of if it was snowing, if it was raining, if it was sleeting. Or we pressed on and we got to that place because we wanted to get that thing that would make us feel better. Well, now we are in the house of the Lord. We are part of the body of Christ. And we are hungry and thirsty for more of what only God can give. So we press on, we go on in spite of, to get what only God can give to us. And guess what happened? We find ourselves feeling satisfied because God has done what only he can do for us. Fill us with even more. The ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, a metaphor for moral uprightness. This may be an allusion to Psalm 37 verse 12 to 17. Let's read Psalm 37, verse 12 to 17. This is what the Word of God does for us. When we are searching the Scriptures, we see things and we just go. Psalm 37, verse 12 to 17. Glory be to God. We're talking about truth for Christian living. Truth for Christian living. He says, Psalm 37, verse 12 to 17. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. The sword shall enter into their sword, shall enter into their own heart, and their bones shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Do you hear that? The Lord upholdeth the righteous. He protects the righteous. The sword of the wicked goes back into his own heart. His bones are broken. The Lord is the protector of the righteous. You may say, well, you're going through so much. I say, how much must I go? You know, how much must I go through? The ones that you trust come against you. You say, how much, Lord? I trust them. They betrayed me. How much, Lord? You're thinking all the time. But God says, El Shaddai is your defender. El Shaddai is your defender. Trust him. He'll fight for you. Here, back in here, I want to finish this. I'm not going to be long today. I got to do some shopping today. Try to find some things. I need some new glasses. One who hunger and thirst for righteousness, a metaphor for moral uprightness. This may be an allusion to what we just read, which in Psalm 37, verse 12 to 17, which speaks of a time when oppressors will be no more. The line oppresses a deep desire both for personal righteousness and for a world characterized by God's righteousness or justice. He said, blessed are the merciful, verse 7, because they will be shown mercy. Lots of time we see people in need of mercy, and we'll be just like the Levite and the priest in the story of the Good Samaritan. We'll just look at them or look down on them as if though we are superior to them because we may be doing a little bit better than them. And we'll cross over on the other side. We forget that we are ambassadors. We forget that we are God's servants called to reconcile that which need reconciling. We are called to be helpers to the needy. Hallelujah. We find an excuse not to help. He said, blessed are the merciful. God rewards those who imitate his goodness and mercy. This beatitude has the same emphasis as the others. God's kingdom is breaking in upon the world. When it does, God will show mercy to those who have been merciful to others. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God. Pure in heart just means the one that has made a decision to live according to God's instruction. That's all it means. It means that you have made a decision to live according to God's instruction. You are obedient to the word of God. Not one who proclaims to be obedient or holy while being unholy or disobedient. Full of malice, full of conniving, full of jealousy, lying, cheating, backbiting, gossiping, all of this stuff is not of God. Poor in heart. And a possible allusion to Psalm 18 and 26. Psalm 18 and 26, one of David's psalms that was written twice in the Bible. It's all here in this book, and it's also in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 18 and 26 says, with the pure thou wast show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wast show thyself froward. God honors pureness. He honors righteousness, holiness. Obedience is the key to being pure or holy. Obedience. Obedience to what? To the word of God, to the instruction of God's word. Blessed are the pure in heart, not in speech. Some preachers are very eloquent. They know the Hebrew, they know the Greek. They're well-versed in the English language. Their pronunciation is perfect, but they're not pure in heart. They're not pure in heart. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. The Beatitudes uses the terminology of ritual purity and cleanness, which would have been common in Judaism. They would see God, likely an allusion to the temple entrance liturgy in Psalm 24. Their idea being that they will witness God's entrance. Psalm 24 and verse 3 and 4. It's a powerful psalm. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He's all penned down in this book. You can cross-reference as you go, and you can see, you will see what God requires for Christian living. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. That means sons and daughters. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jewish literature of the time value those who work for peace. For instance, 2 Enoch reads, blessed is one who gives peace and love. 52 and 11, 2 Enoch. Sons of God, those who live lives reflects the ethics of Jesus, will be clearly identified as children of God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and 12. Romans chapter 8 and 14.
For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, they need the Spirit of God to be the sons of God. We can never be the sons of God without the Spirit of God. You look and see how many leaders are falling today. The internet, CNN, CBS, here in my neighborhood, are exposing leaders, pastors that are falling. Because why? The world, Satan, has now opened the gates of hell wide open so that it looks so enticing. Oh, you're going to have your brand new Cadillac. You're going to have you a new yacht. You're going to have a 14-bedroom castle. Hallelujah. You're going to have all of these swimming pools. And you're going to have the best Rolex, most expensive Rolex watch. Gold with diamonds in the face. Satan is giving them all this stuff. And what he's doing, why is he doing this? So they can compromise the truth of God's word. Do you hear what I'm saying? So they can compromise the truth. And when they compromise the truth, Satan now goes back and he's looking at God. The Bible says he is accuser of the brethren. He accused them day and night before God. And I said, like I said before, if he accused us before God day and night, when we are striving to live a pure life according to the Beatitudes, what do you think he's going to do when we are all dibbing and dabbing in sin? Oh, he laughing, he mocking God. Watch the folk in the street. They mock the preachers. When the preachers living in what you call a promiscuous lifestyle, they mock the preachers. We got a church, maybe I would say about the church building, probably about 15 minutes, maybe less, from left of going to my sister-in-law's house. And every Sunday, where sometimes through the week depends on the weather, there has a big giant flag, and it's a big church, and it's a big giant flag. They call them the gear flag. It's a rainbow colors. They use, you know, the devil uses everything. He's a counterfeit. He tried to copy God and everything. So they use the counterfeit right across their church building, saying everybody's welcome. You see the men and women going and holding hands on Sunday morning. It's packed. And the pastor or priest at the door in a white robe, and he kissing them. He kissing them on their cheek. The devil is laughing because there's no anointing in that place. There's no power in that place because they're doing everything that he called. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, I was going down to a job the other day and going down the highway. Man, there was so many police cars and so many ambulances. Well, I pulled over to the right. A lot of people don't like to pull over, but you can get ticketed for that. I pulled over to the right. Why? Because the lights and stuff. But I didn't have no fear. But I remember when I was under the law because I was committing things that are contrary to God's word. So when I see the law, I was scared. I was trembling because I know if they stop me, I could be in trouble. But here in this text here, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, the literature of the time value those who work for peace. Hallelujah. It was so important that, and even now today, people are not looking for peace. Working for peace, but you know when we're going to see peace? When he returns, we're going to see true peace. Verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. If you make a decision to walk aright before God, to live for God, you're going to be persecuted. I don't care who you are. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be chilled. You're going to be picked on. You're going to be knocked on. Everything going to go on. Honey, excuse me. So here we see here, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Because this is the kingdom of heaven. You know, most Christians, I know, don't like to be persecuted. I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to tell the truth. I don't like to be persecuted. If you like to be persecuted, hats off to you. But I don't like to be persecuted. And I know that most people don't like to. I mean, glory to God. So, these three verses address persecution and likely reflect the situation of those who first read Matthew's gospel, which may explain why the theme receives such extensive treatment. Lately in the narrative, Jesus encountered each form of persecution recorded here and suffered the same fate as many Old Testament prophets. You can look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 29 to 37. See, once you make a decision, a conscious decision to walk and carry out the will of God, I don't care who you are. Temptation, remember, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Temptation will come. Temptation and tribulation, they all go together. They both go together. Temptations and tribulations. When we yield to temptation, guess what happens? What follows? Tribulation. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, listen to what he says. Very powerful scripture. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear. See, God will permit the temptation to come. But at the same time, God is opening a door for you to escape. This is what he does. Hallelujah. I'm praying for this woman that was saved and sanctified. It don't matter because your faith is saved and sanctified. You can go through stuff. You're not exempt. Jesus is God all by himself. He's God all by himself. He was tempted, yet he didn't sin. And he was crucified for stuff that he didn't do. And if it happened to him that's Lord and Savior and soon coming King, what do you think is going to happen to little old us? But God is so faithful and loves us so much that he gives us a way that we can escape. Not only that we can escape, but we can bear the temptation. Sometimes temptation comes in so heavy. You really need God. You need God to be on God's shoulder. Let God carry you while you're going through. Here, this book here is so powerful. And as I mentioned in the early sermon, part of the sermon, that I've heard of Apostle Linda Washington over there in New Orleans, over there, Slidell, what do you call it, preached this message about 2 years ago, about 2 years ago. But I'm coming a different way because everybody preached different. Everybody teach different. Book here is so important for every believer. Every born-again believer ought to study this book. This is the basic instruction before leaving earth if you're going to be a teacher. The type of this is part two of a seminar minister last week, Truth for Christian Living. And Jesus gave his disciples, nobody know how much there was. We think about 12, but he had more than 12. But at one point, he had about 71 times. And he had more than 70 disciples. But he gave them while he was on the mount. While he was on the mount, he gave them, you want to go? He gave them instructions, or he was encouraging them how to live. How to live when he gone. See, while he was on the earth, he could coach them while he was there on the earth. But while he left the earth, while he is about to leave the earth, they had to have the instruction on how to live on. It's just like when we have kids, we try to give the kids all the information that we have gathered in our lifetime and hoping that they would follow, especially if you're a good father, a good mother. You try to tell your children how to live. You try to show them, matter of fact, how to live a way that there you don't have to worry about the police coming to your door, or you're going down to the courthouse, or maybe got to go to the mortuary, to the graveyard, you know, the jailhouse, and visit them. You try to give them all the instruction, good instruction. This is what Jesus did here in the Beatitudes. He gave them everything. He told them they had to be peacemakers. Listen to what he said to them. He says, first he told them they had to be humble, poor in spirit. He tell them they had to mourn. See, a lot of times folk will laugh with you, but when you're suffering, they don't want to mourn with you. Hallelujah, glory to God. They'll laugh with you. They'll eat your cake, and they'll drink your wine. Hallelujah. They'll drink your, apple juice and the juice thing you used to drink. We used to mix by the little package. I don't remember the name of it. By the little package and put some water in. Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid. They'll eat your bread, eat your cake, and drink your Kool-Aid, but as soon as you're going through, they don't mourn with you. But yes. Jesus tells them that they have to mourn with people. You have to mourn. You have to have this kind of spirit that is a spirit that sees when people are going through. Know when they're going through. Hallelujah. This is what love is all about. This is what being a friend is all about, being a sister, being a brother is all about in the kingdom. He says you have to be meek. Meek don't mean you're foolish. It don't mean you're weak. But we have to be as believers, as Christians. This is the foundation for Christian living. He said, but I believe that until we have an encounter, listen to this, I believe that until we have an encounter with Christ Jesus, we don't know how to be meek. We don't know how to moan. We don't know how to be poor. Hallelujah, until we have an encounter. Hallelujah, because what happened is as we're teaching and preaching the gospel, all the time what's going on is that we're still operating somewhat in the flesh. We're still operating somewhat in the flesh because we have not turned completely all to Christ Jesus. This is why preachers are messing up all the time. How can a pastor preach the gospel, a prophet, he was a prophet, preach the gospel with such power, such tenacity, and then goes down to his wife's job and shoot her dead? And he's a prophet of God. And he's prophesying. Now he's in jail, sitting in jail, you know, because they have not had an encounter. See, when we get an encounter with Christ, he takes over us. He takes over our heart completely, our mind, body, and soul. So we have to get these Beatitudes down. He says, you have to be meek. They said, well, you know, I'm meek, but I'm not weak. And I would say, you do this to me, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to say, here, somebody, you should come on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That's why the person is so crazy. Because they keep giving away a piece of their mind all the time. They're not sane. They don't have their five senses. They keep giving away. So the slightest thing that happened in their life, they flip out. They want to fight. They want to cut somebody out. See, God wants us to meet, to be meek. He wants us to be a gentle. Gentle. He said, blessings are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because if we are hungry and thirsty, we are going to go after it. People of God, take what I'm telling you. We're going to go after it. I was on a job on Saturday. A day went down to the drive almost an hour. Went to the job. And I was there, and I was checking out the furnace. And, you know, I happened to have something in the truck. And I started up, but it's not the right part for it, so I had to order some stuff. And then they sent me the wrong part. I got to go back there tomorrow. But anyway, the guy that was the contractor on the job, he is a deacon, and he says, I love everybody. I got to get along with everybody. And if people, and he goes off on a deep thing about walking with homosexuals. And that's not in the Word of God. The Bible said we must love them. It didn't say we got to walk with them. It said two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. So if somebody is sinning, I still love you, but I hate your sin. I'm not going up with you. Because if you don't agree with me, I'm going to end up agreeing with you. It's just like I'm going out with some people that I know they're going to break. I know they're going to break in that store. And no sooner I get down there, I see all the jewelry, all the diamonds, all the nice watches, and all the nice necklaces and bracelets and stuff. Guess what you think I'm going to do? I'm telling you, you have to have everything in your heart for you don't start packing your bag. I watch them on TV. Everybody. Some of them people save. They're going in the stores and they're taking out the jewelry that they didn't put this. They got big, nice, expensive bags. One lady had a bag with $10,000 bag. I said, my God, who would buy a bag for $10,000? I saw a woman on the TV the other night talking about she was given that she's a doctor and somebody blessed her with this bag. African-American woman. $100,000 bag, a bag that you put over your shoulder to put your telephone in, put your notebook in, your pens, and your telephone, all that kind of stuff. $100,000, and people dying for starvation. Here he says, if you get hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. You'll be filled. The Bible says here in this text that you will be satisfied because they are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, they will be satisfied, they will be filled. Why are they going to be filled? Because they're going to go after it. They're going to search after it. If you are looking, you want to have an encounter. Let's say this. If you are still in the world and you're looking to have a sex encounter, you know how we used to go to the club? We dress up, we put on the cologne, we put on the perfume, we put on the powder, all that stuff, and we go to the nightclub. You know, we go to the nightclub and we would stay till after 2 o'clock. They say last call for alcohol. And we try to pick up somebody or we want to be picked up. It depends on what gender you are. You can be any gender now because now they're changing gender. You know, it's not male and female. It's different stuff. I don't know what you would call it. They're fussing with somebody here. I saw on internet some stars being harassed, greatly harassed because he said it. Is only male and female. And they're coming against him. All of them coming against him. Now he's not going to get this, be in any movie, make any more movies because Hollywood is coming against him. You know, because he says God only create man and woman, male and female. But see, they're changing everything. Now they got women, I don't know if you all seen it on Facebook this morning. Men with big bellies say they're impregnated. I don't know if you all seen it, but it's on Facebook this morning. Two men with say they got a baby inside their belly. This world is something else. He said, blessed are the merciful. You know, sometimes I talked about the Levi and the priest. I think it's in Luke chapter 15. Let me be sure. I think it's there. In. They didn't show any mercy. They didn't show any mercy. A lot of time what we look at people and we see people going through. We become stiff-necked and hard-hearted, like the Levite and the priest, because we think that we have arrived. You know, we think that we have arrived, and what happened is we cross over to the other side. Yeah. When the Levite and the priest saw the man that was wounded on the side, they cross over. They went over to the other side. They looked upon him and then went over to the other side. While they were supposed to show mercy, they show no mercy. And this is what a lot of preachers do. Because they got their Cadillacs, they got their Mercedes-Benz, they got their Lexus, and they live in a nice community. Yeah, the community got the big Rottweilers, got the pit bulls, got the golden retriever, all this stuff they got. And they say, well, I don't have to worry about them. I ain't going to see them anywhere. But guess who sees? God sees that we pass over and we refuse to help that person that is in need of seeing and receiving from him. We said, well, why don't they get up off the ground and go clean themselves up? God said, no. I said, I allow you to see that so you can pick them up. Pick them up off the ground. Wash them off. I have a daughter in North Carolina. and she goes and take people off the street. I said, girl, you better be careful. She said, no, Dad, God ain't going to let nothing happen to me. And she take them to the hotel. She put them up at the hotel, pay with her own money, and put them at the hotel. Take their clothes and wash their clothes. Pay for their food. And God gave her a full-time, her own business, her own business. She was doing part-time work in a hospital, going to clean up, washing down the elderly and stuff like that. She got licensed as assistant nurse or what they call it. But either way, she got people working for her now. And they go into homes and they take care of the elderly. She not want them to beat up the elderly, but she take care of the elderly. This is what she does. And God showed her the very thing that she was showing to the elderly. God showed her. God showed her mercy. God blessed her. Here he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor, the pure in heart, because they will see God. See, without purity, we can't see God. We can get around here and play around with this stuff. If we don't have a pure heart, and pure in heart meaning that we have to stay in a repentive mood, not like we arrive. Because it said pure in heart possibly is an illusion. We read it earlier. This beatitude uses the terminology of ritual purity and cleanness, which would have been common in Judaism. So we have to have this pure heart. How are we going to get this pure heart? It's very hard, very difficult. Let me tell you something. It's very difficult to get a pure heart on your own. You can't get it on your own. You somebody going to sleep on me. You have to have the Word of God. The Word of God is what purifies the heart of a believer. Brother Dickie, you sleeping on me?
So, I got it, Apostle.
Thank you.
Somebody
thank
on
you.
The line with me. I said, oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. So we can only have the pure heart when we allow God to make it pure. How do you know that? You look at Psalm 51. A lot of times we are saying, well, oh, I got this, I got that. No, you cannot get it without God. It doesn't matter who you are, who we are. We cannot get it without God. God is the only one that can purify the heart of a man. That's why David, after all the stuff that he was doing, he had to go to God. You go to God and say, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Clean heart means pure. Pure. Purify my heart, Lord. Make my heart right to receive you. Because see, if my heart is not right, I can't receive God. I can't receive him. You know, I'm listening to the deacon. Last week we was over there in Falls River. Nice, big $2 million home. And I'm looking at him and listening to him. And they believe that they can work themselves into heaven. They believe that they can work themselves into heaven. No, you can't work yourself into heaven. You can live yourself into heaven, but you can't work yourself into heaven. Not because you give the church $37,000. Not because you buy all the equipment for the church. That's not going to do nothing for you. You have to live your way. That's what Jesus is telling these people. He's telling these people, you got to live this. This is the manual. This is the manuscript. This is the prescription for heaven. If you want to be heaven bound, this is it. No money. No jewelry. No cars. No nothing going to get you into heaven. We have to live this beatitude. This is the key right here. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus telling them, if you do this, you're going to be all right, sons and daughters. You're going to be all right when they come back to get you. You're going to be all right. He said, look, people are going to persecute you. He told them this. They're going to persecute you. You walk in with a pure heart, they're going to persecute you. They're going to come again. He said, blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called sons of God. It's hard for us to make peace. Because what we're trying to make peace is somebody is trying to distract us, delay us, and bring delusions to us because they come from the enemy. Now he said, look, blessed are you. Listen. This is so powerful right here. He said, once you're walking in peace, you're going to be persecuted because you are walking in righteousness. Listen what he said. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you, lying on account of me, they're talking. They're lying on you because of the Jesus that's inside of you. Do you know that? They're lying on us because of the Jesus. He said, rejoice and be glad. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't get a baseball bat. Don't take up a revolver and want to kill nobody. He said, rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. Do you hear what God said? The same way. These verses here speak loudly. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about a radical way of life that reflects the ideals of the kingdom of heaven. He seems to imply the persecution is a result of practicing his teaching and believing in him. Hear what Jesus is saying. In what follows, Jesus shifts from pronouncements of blessings to instructions about the law. He compares his followers to salt and light elements, commonly used as metaphors and activity. His point is that disciples who fail to live a lifestyle that reflects the value of the kingdom of heaven as akin to something tasteless or devoid of light, undesirable, or of no value. See, when we begin to activate the Beatitudes, we begin to walk in the light. We become the salt of the earth, of the world. Being the light is difficult from time to time. Because sometimes when you want the light switch to be on, somebody turn it off. How do they turn it off, Apostle? They say things, do things to make the light switch don't go on. Matter of fact, some darkness start to come forth. What is darkness? We go back into our old place. I always say, man, I got some stuff that I used to do in an old safe. It's buried. I'm not digging it up. I'm not digging it up. They said, preachers, go back in into that old hell that you used to be in. And say, oh, I'm going to show her something. I'm going to show him something. He said that? I'm going to show him something. That's that old safe. Ignorance. Seeing that we dig back up. I have some stuff I went and buried. Oh, my Lord, some stuff I buried. And sometimes the Lord just let me know it's buried in his covers. He sealed it with the blood. Ain't no point in my trying to even thinking about going on covering that dirt. Because the dirt is so packed so tight. The dirt is packed so tight. I can't even get it. The dirt dig up. He packed it and sealed it with the blood. So a lot of times when things are going on, we just got to say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I'm not the same person anymore. I thank you, Lord, that you even right now you're changing me and molding me. Why? Because you want to be like Christ. You want to have the same values that he has. When you begin to walk in Christ, when you begin to live in Christ, this is truth for Christian living. When we begin to walk as Christ walked, we begin to glow. Somebody's saying, I'm on a job. I'm the only foreign person on the job, even though I'm a citizen of the United States. But I'm the foreign person on the job, but they're seeing me different because they're cracking foolish jokes. Folks on the job that claim they are Christians, and they're cracking jokes that don't glorify Christ. I'm constantly doing what I'm doing. And I'm thanking God and praising God. Because why? I'm not saying that I'm above them or bigger than them, but I have my mind on focus. I got my thoughts on focus. My thoughts are focused to glorify him. I told you the other day, I hear this man's voice for 3 years. I didn't even know it was so long. John Sutter from Canada. He's a pastor over there. And he came on Blog Talk a couple of times. I went on his line a couple of times. And he sent me an email, long email. He said, Apostle, I was just hearing from the Lord, and I heard your name. He said, and I looked back. I didn't realize that we haven't spoken for so long, my brother. He said, I need to come on the line and share, encourage the people here in Canada. I said, wow. 3 years. But God said, allow him to hear my name in his spirit. And he sent me an email. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt becomes tasteless, by what will it be made salty? It is good for nothing any longer except to be thrown outside and trampled under the foot by people. You are the light of the world. A city located on top of a hill cannot be hidden. See, people ought to be seeing us. We don't have to put a Bible on it. I don't have to carry my iPad wherever I go. But there's something inside of me that's going to glow. It's going to cause me to glow. When the police put me over, I'm a minister of the gospel. He tapped and put his fingerprints on my car. And he come up to the window. I was going above the speed limit. And he began to talk to me. Broke my speed. And I told him, I'm sorry, sir. You know, people get, you know why a lot of us get killed and get abused by the police? Because they don't know how to respect the law. You got to respect the law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't get up in the office fussing with the police alone. You're going to get you. He got power. He got power on his side, on his hip. He got power. That 9mm he got on his side, that's power. And you're going to see they shoot people and they tell them that they go to jail. They tell them they get sentenced to death. But your life be in the box. And I've talked to the police on the side. This is years ago. And they said, well, yes, I'm sorry. Then he said, where you going? I said, I'm just trying to get to church, sir. And he said, oh, I see that you're a minister because I had my collar on. And I said to him, I haven't had a ticket in 18 years. He said, well, I'm going to check you out. And if that's so, he said, I'm not going to change it. He went and took my license, went back and sit in his car for a minute. He come back, talk to me, tap my car again, would put on his fingerprints on the car. And he said, Mr. Cannon, just keep on, drive on to your church. He says, take your foot off the glass. Yeah. I could have get this. Well, I could be arguing with that police. How you know I was driving like this? I was going 35 miles. Yes, I was going. I was going 45 miles in 35 miles zone. He could have given me a ticket. The $75 or $200, whatever he feel like. You know, but he didn't change my record. People argue with the police. I watch it on YouTube and Facebook. People arguing, and they wonder why they get their head smashed, and then they got to get a lawyer, then got to hope that they don't die in the hospital and all this kind of stuff. God saying we are the light. We are the salt and light. We got to act like salt. We got to, we got to be salt. Salt don't act like sugar. Light don't act like darkness. We have to be the light. We have to be the salt that God called us to be. The Beatitudes come on down here. We got to be what the Beatitudes are saying. We have to be the peacemaker. We have to be pure in heart. We have to mourn for people. Hallelujah. Where you're poor in heart and you're a peacemaker, you're going to suffer persecution. People are going to call you out your name, going to talk about you. Hallelujah. You ain't said nothing bad about them. They're going to talk about you. Believe what I'm telling you. This Bible tells me so. I don't read between lines of nobody. I ain't got time for that. I'm too old. My time is coming up close, real fast. I don't have time. I tell you, Apostle, I don't have time to talk about nobody or worry about nobody. I ain't worry about nobody's job. Nobody making more money than me. Nobody got more than this than me, more than that than me. I don't worry about none of that stuff. Why? Because I want my heart to be pure. I worry about this stuff that's going. I have to leave behind. I got worried about it. I make some money. I give my son some money to help him. My wife said, well, you got, I said, honey, because look, I ain't trying to save no money. I ain't trying to save no money to live in no nursing home no long time. I said, God, when my time is up, just call me out of this place. Help me to live this life that glorify you. If I'm still healthy, you want to take me out. I don't want to sit in no nursing home in a wheelchair and somebody come out to wipe me. I've got to take me to the bathroom, bring me back from the bathroom. I don't want all that stuff. I said, God, just let me do this thing. And when I'm over, when you finish with me, just take me home. You are the light of the world. And he said, a city located on top of a hill cannot be hidden. That means that people ought to be able to see and know that you are born again, that you're washed in the blood, that you are an ambassador, that we are agents of the Most High God. Nor do they light a lamp and place it under a basket, but a lampstand. We must be out there. People must be able to see us and hear us and know that we are full of the fire of God. Hallelujah. It's inside our belly. It's got to come out of our belly. Understand what I'm saying? He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But we first must allow him to put the water in. The water comes from him. He is the will. He is the well that never runs dry. We got to allow him to pour himself into us. Don't be distracted by nobody. I don't care who you are. Don't be distracted by anybody. That's the right way. My wife said, don't say nobody. Don't be distracted by anybody. Know who you are and whose you are. Who you are and whose you are. And then you got to know your assignment. See, these disciples here were standing. Jesus was sitting and ministering to them, teaching them. And they were getting, receiving what he was giving to them. Because and a matter of fact, they knew that when he do leave, if he leave by death or by reason of going to somewhere else, they would have what they need to continue what he need them to do. God has given us the 66 books. Somebody said they stole 14 books. Who cares? We got still enough. We still have enough to live the life, the pure life that he's required us to live. We still have enough to be the salt and the light of the earth. We still have enough out of these 66 books. He said, you don't hide your light. But a lampstand, you put on a lamp, and it shines on all those in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, the thing is that too many of church folk want to be seen. It's not for us to be seen. It's for him to be seen. The Father must be glorified through us. Let them see the works of God in us, coming out of us, flowing through us. And then what happened? I love all the people of God. God knows I don't hold nothing in my heart against anyone. I don't care who you are, what you've done, what you said, what you took from me. How you hurt me? You scratch my car. They mention my car. I don't care. I get another one. I got them sending me emails every day, every day. And then they're lying too. Number one, I put something on the internet. They saw my ad on the internet. I ain't never put my vehicle on the internet. Yeah. This lady called me. This man called me. They're both different companies. Well, we want to give you a good price for your car. We see that it's in nice condition. My car on the internet. Advertise for sale. My wife said, well, go ahead and sell it. And we keep one car. I said, I ain't selling my car. Her car's paid off, too. She just paid off. Her car just paid off 2 months ago. She just got the thing, the title in the mail. I said, I ain't selling my car. Because I use my car for work. I'm going to go, she got a little bitty car. Well, I'm going to put my snake machine in there. And all my big toolbox can't get in that car. So we ain't got the room. See, do not think that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. Verse 17. I want to go to Acts chapter 9, but we do that another time. I am not going to be here tomorrow because I'm going to do some work tomorrow. But he said, do not think that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one tiny little, not one tiny letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all take place. Therefore, whoever abolishes one of the least of these commandments and teaches people to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever keeps them and teaches them, this person will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness greatly surpasses that of the scribe and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, the Pharisees that taught and the scribe, they taught they knew the law. But what's the point of thinking you know the law, but you're not living the law? They put strains on other people who they taught them had understanding. Just like I was watching an imam from Muslim country. He was talking, country, he was talking to some Christian. She's of the same, culture. She's the same culture, but she's giving her life to Christ. But she didn't understand the script, nor the full scriptures. But she knew one thing, that she knew that Jesus was the Savior. The imam trying to say that Jesus was a great messenger. She said, no, he's bigger, he's greater than a messenger. She said, he's not just a messenger, he's bigger, he's greater. And she said, he is God himself. And the imam says, show me in the Bible. She didn't know the Bible. She didn't study the Bible. You know, she had enough. She had enough to really testify for Christ, but she didn't have enough to converse about the scriptures. Because Jesus said, if you see the Father, you see me. The Father and I are one. Mm-hmm. You got to know it. The Father and I are one. So the imam said, show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus said he's God. Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father in the book of John. And he said to Philip, have I been with you so long yet you have not seen, known the Father? He told Philip, I am the Father's one. See, what happened is, in order to really talk to someone about the scripture, you got to study it. We got to study because Jesus and the Father one. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. That's the Father. That's the Son. That's the Holy Ghost. They're one. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7, it speaks the gospel. But if you don't apply this question and study for yourself, Satan will test you and make you doubt what you're teaching or preaching or what you are living. He'll make you doubt it. And the woman, she said, no, I may not know all that. She messed me up. That's what happened. She said, I may not know all that, Iman, but I know Jesus is Lord. I know he's God. And I know he's coming back again. He told, well, boy, that must be mad with that woman. They were mad with him, mad with her. See, let's do a little bit. We'll do a little bit more of this. He says, you have heard that it was said to, verse 21, to the people of old, do not commit murder. And whosoever commit murder will be subject to judgment. But I say to you, that everyone who is angry at his brother will be subject to judgment. Powerful word right there. And whosoever said to his brother, stupid fool or racker, will be subject to the council, and that means to the heavenly host. The government of heaven, this is what he's saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you, God's not going to judge everybody. There's some things the disciples, going to judge, the governor of heaven going to judge the law. He said they will be subject to the council. And whosoever said obstinate fool will be subject to a fiery hell. Therefore, if you present your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and first go to be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your gift. Minister Andre was talking about build your altar yesterday, and I tell you, it just blessed me because I preached about time to rebuild the altar some time back, and as she was talking, that it was so powerful yesterday. It just, I remember her coming on, and her voice was all choked up and scratchy, and I had to tell her after the sermon. As soon as she began to preach about building your altar, her voice changed. God clear all the rashness in her throat, all that coal is all. He settled the case quickly with your accuser. While you are with him on the way, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will never come out of there until you have paid back the last penny. People of God, God has a plan for, there's so much in this beatitude, in this Sermon on the Mount. I know there's so many sections in it, but we are stopped here today. I feel like I ought to go. I've got my wife trying to check out if I can get my glasses. My eyes are messing me. I got a prescription I should have filled in since last year. That I gotta look at that and pick up some pipe fittings so I can do this job tomorrow and get paid. Finish this job. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you, O God, for being able to break this bread, Lord. Well, we were going to talk about Paul and how the very people he loved and ministered to us accused him before the Romans. But he stood knowing who he was and is in Christ. God says to us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. A lot of times he uses us to accuse our own brethren. He does. He goes in the church and he accuses the people in the church right before God. But Father, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace and your forgiveness most of all, Lord God. Because, Lord, what you should have given us, you never gave us. You gave us life. You should have given us death for the life that we were living, contrary to your commands, but you gave us life. Ask you, God, today that you continue to saturate the atmosphere. Lord, take complete control over the atmosphere, Lord God. God, change our hearts like you changed David's heart. Change our minds. Give us the right spirit, O God, to teach and preach your truth, O God. God, we recognize that it's never about us, O God. It's about you, Lord. What we say and do is to glorify you, Father. And we ask, God, that you give us the strength, Lord God, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, to know that we are not all that bag of chips in a Pepsi Cola, but you are the sovereign Lord. You're the one that gave us what we need, Lord God, because we can never do what we do without you. Your entrance into our heart, O God. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of every thought, every word, every action that we may have committed, known or not known, Lord God. For if the time comes that you call us, we want to be able to enter into your presence, into your full presence, O God, and be able to come and bow at your throne, O God. Lord Jesus, thank you for Apostle coming on today. And Bishop and Deacon Fraser, we was on with him last night, but he was somewhere else. And we just thank God that you, Lord, give him the understanding that when he opened the line.
He's out of town. In town. He was out of town.
Yeah, he put the radio on, though. He had the line on, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I went. I called, and his mother answered the phone. And, yeah, he wasn't there. He was out of town.
If you're going out of town.
Yeah.
Just don't turn on the line.
His choir went to another city to sing, so it was a singing experience. And he just put the line on, because I went on the line too. No one was there.
Yeah.
He called his mom to find out if everything was all right. And she said, everything's fine. You know, and we talked a minute, but she said Deacon was at a singing engagement with the gospel, with the choir. So that's where he was, and he just put the line on.
We missed it last night. I was on there Friday night, and I gave him a word about Jesus. Give him a quick word about Jesus on Friday night. And then we jump off. Got the line. So is Bishop available to do a prayer salvation? I haven't heard him for a while. Is he available?
He's right here at the table.
Is he sleeping?
Here. I'm
okay.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If anyone has never received Jesus as the Lord and Savior, here's your opportunity. Don't pass it by. We never know when our soul will be required by the Lord God Almighty. And we must be prepared. Okay. And if you have accidentally, Jesus is standing at the door waiting for you to open it and asking, Jesus, please accept me back and save me. I want to be saved. I want to be with you. And like I said, if you've never received Jesus before, now is your opportunity. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus has died for our sins, that God has sent him to die for our sins, and sin was put upon him. If you believe that, and that he went to Calvary on our behalf, for our sins, and sin was put on him. And if you believe this, and you believe that God raised him from the dead on the third day, he raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Your slate is clean. Do not go back to the way you were living. You must repent. You must believe. He did this for us through his obedience to Father God. And that God raised him from the dead on the third day, which is Resurrection Sunday. You are now saved. But you must repent, 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 repent. Do not go back. Now, your next step is to be baptized. And as Peter told those who were to be baptized, repent, every one of you. Okay? Repentance is what we really need, repentance. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And for the Spirit will come upon you, and it will be well with you and your children and all who are far off to call on Jesus to be our Savior. Now, I must congratulate you. I must for accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and invite people to your baptism, no matter who it is, a stranger, an enemy, family member, co-workers, invite them to your baptism. Let them know that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and ask them, have they done so? If not, if they say no, then ask them, will they accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior? And say the same scriptures that I said to you. This was in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. Have them to read that, or read it to them, and let them acknowledge. And you must speak it openly. The word is in you, into your mouth. That's what the word of God says in verse 8, chapter 10 of Romans. You must speak it into the atmosphere, for the enemy cannot read your mind. to know that you're accepting Jesus. Oh, you know, people say, oh, yeah, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior. You're thinking this way. Only God can know what's on your mind. The enemy can't. You have to speak it out. That's why the word says it's near you. It's in your mouth. You must speak it out. You must have it in your heart and believe that Jesus died for our sins. Now, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for returning to the flock. And stray no more, brothers and sisters. Stray no more. We're going to pray for everybody who accepted Jesus today and all those who returned and were rededicated to Christ Jesus. Bless each and every one of you and your families. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop. We thank God for you and for your wife and all whoever's on the phone. And
hallelujah.
Pray for your strength. Pray that the lady over in Louisiana that is we need to keep her in prayer. Her name is Diane. And she is she wants to commit suicide and she's asking God to take her life. She was a cocaine addict and she's going back using cocaine again. She's a saved, born again Christians. You know, the devil don't care how long you've been saved. Don't care how long you've been saved. You know, and that's for real. If you don't stay in the Word of God and talking to Him every chance you get, I prayed for her a couple of days, and she wants to go down in the center and buy cocaine and that she don't want to live anymore. And she's turning 70 years old. She's not that old. She turning 70. And she's full of the word. I mean, if you talk to her, every other word that come out of her mouth is a scripture. But the devil tell her that she need to die. She need to give up her life. And that's what
Jesus.
She's trying to do. So keep her in prayer. Keep her in prayer. You all know her family. Keep her in prayer. Her name is Diane. Pray for her. Go ahead.
Oh, Father, we come humbly to pray for Lady Diane, who is just being maneuvered by the enemy. And we ask Jesus to rebuke the enemy, keep those evil demons out of her head. Put her in her right hand, Father God. But there's no permission for suicide. You know, and he's just trying to grab another soul away from the flock. But we rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Lord, rebuke. Hallelujah.
Can we pray that her mind be cleared? And if you're on the line right now, Diane, we're all praying for you. And don't let Satan fool you. He's a trickster. Yeah. Take care of our mind, Lord God. We ask in the mighty, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Let us see, God. Let us see you, Father. Oh, Lord, let her know, God. Let her hear you say how much you love her, God. Let her hear you say, God, how much her life means to
you.
God, you died for her to have a life and life more abundant. Let her hear you say it, God. Let her feel you. Lord, let her feel your arms wrapped around her, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Just open up her ears, oh, God. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, I know what you did for me, Lord. I know what you did for me, Lord. And I didn't want to live anymore, God. Oh, God, you stopped me. God, you saved me. God, you did it for me, Lord. And I know you do it for her, God. You touched me.
You touch me. You let me know how much I mean to you. Father God, I pray you do the same for her, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. And Lord, we know that nobody but you, nobody but your power, Lord God, can keep her. In Jesus Christ's name, God, we pray and for your mercy, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, God. And we thank you, God. We speak that she has been delivered, that every yoke is being destroyed, Lord, that she is being delivered by you, our holy Redeemer, God. Hallelujah. You have already redeemed her from death, hell, and the curse, oh God. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that your servant shall live. She shall live. She shall live in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Let her hear it, God. Let her hear it, God. Hallelujah. That you have given her this abundant life, Lord God. Oh, God, that you've already taken her out of the mud, Father God. Spiritually, it is well with her soul, Father. Lord God, bring her out. Bring her out, oh, God. Hallelujah. We send that evil spirit, that evil that enemy right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Every addiction, God, every yoke destroyed, for you are the yoke destroyer, you are the deliverer. And Father, we thank you for delivering your daughter, one of yours, oh God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We thank you, God, that she shall come out.
Oh, Lord, Jesus.
Oh God. By faith, we believe,
yes,
God, and I know what you did for me.
In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord.
Jesus Christ, name. Ah, God, we just thank you right now
thank
that
you,
our
Lord
sister
Jesus.
Is well. She is well. She's going to turn around, God.
Jesus.
What the enemy is trying to do for you, doing evil, God, you have done it for her good.
Thank
God.
You. Thank you, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
But they keep all the
Jesus, thank you.
Turn around for good. In the
thank
name
you,
of Jesus. God. She knows you. She knows you. And everything
thank
that's
you,
happening
Lord.
Right
thank
now
you, Lord.
That's around for her good. We prophesy it right now, Father God, by faith we believe.
In the name of
we
Jesus.
It done in the name of Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Lord.
Right now. Right now. Right
hallelujah,
now, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Because you can only come right now, God, and you hear your faith, Father God. You hear the
Jesus.
Prayers of the righteous, oh God. And we thank
Jesus.
You have heard us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, now lay it on her, God. Lay on her. Breathe on her, Father.
Right
in the
now,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus, oh God. Wrap your
hallelujah,
arms around
Jesus.
Her, oh God. Wrap her up.
Yes,
God.
Lord.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Take over her mind. In the name
Lord.
Of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you. We bless you. Hey, Jesus, we bless your holy name, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. He has been redeemed. Hallelujah.
Your line of the tribe
God,
of Judah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
He's been delivered.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Glory.
In the name
yes,
of
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We
thank
you. Thank
you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Greater are you in her. And he that's in this
thank
world, you're greater,
Jesus.
Greater than every addiction. You're greater than every pain. You're greater
thank
than all
you,
heart,
Jesus.
God. You're greater than all the disappointments, God. You're
thank
greater
you, Jesus.
God, in her than everything that's ever happened to her. Now, God, we're going to ask you, use every bit of the pain. Use every bit of the pain. Use it for your glory, God.
Yes, Lord.
Let her come with testimony, Father God, about what you have done for her and how she came out, how Jesus brought her out. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We're going to hallelujah right now, God. We hallelujah right now, God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh,
for the victory, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Coming to you. Coming to you for her
thank
comfort.
You,
coming to you for her help. Coming to you from now on. She
thank
comes
you,
to
Lord
you, but she
Jesus.
Don't go to that house. She don't go to cocaine anymore. She come to you, God. She come to you for her comfort, for her help when she's feeling unloved, when she's feeling abandoned, when she's feeling rejected, oh God. God, that she come to you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We say amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, give thank your hands for praise. You are great. And greater to be
thank
praised.
You, Lord
there's
Jesus.
None like the Father. There's nobody
thank
like
you,
nobody.
Lord Jesus.
Father.
Nobody,
thank
Lord
you,
Jesus. Thank
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now
Lord,
we pray for
you,
all those who are on crack cocaine, who's addicted to alcohol, who's addicted to pornography, whatever
yes,
their
Lord.
Addiction is. God, we thank you, God, that you are the breaker, God. We thank you, God, you're the deliverer, God. We ask you to do miracles with them today, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. Deliver them from that cocaine. Deliver them from the addictions, the alcohol, and everything that people are addicted to, God. We pray for them today. Bring them out, Lord. Draw them back to Jesus. And draw those to Jesus that never knew him.
Yes,
that don't know him, that are not saved. Draw them, Father. Draw them to Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Only you can destroy all those yokes, God. Only you are the deliverer, oh God. Only you are the
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God. Let them feel that.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bring them out of the darkness back
hallelujah,
into the light.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus, God, that they will do right in their lives, oh God. Hallelujah. And they'll come
thank
to you,
Lord.
Jesus. That they see you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
and they'll
Jesus.
See you, all the pain and the agony. They'll
bless the name
Lord,
of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
they'll
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah,
so
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah,
Lord,
Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that they will not
hallelujah,
come
Jesus.
Back in this earth, that flavor for you, Jesus, that will know
hallelujah, Jesus.
Earth, that I am like
thank
Jesus
you, Lord.
Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
God,
thank you, Lord.
This day, God, and begin to walk
you are the only wise God. Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus
we bless
Christ.
Your name,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
God, we praise you,
we
God,
bless
right
you,
now.
Lord.
Oh, God, because we
all
bless
you, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Jesus, help us, help us, Lord, help us. We bless you and praise you, God, for healing and deliverance right now, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Do what only you can do,
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. My Lord, my Lord, my Savior.
Hallelujah.
My Redeemer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you. We go hallelujah, Father. We thanking
oh,
you
God.
Right now for what you already done. And
hallelujah,
we thank you
Jesus.
Right now for what you will do in the name of Jesus.
In the
hallelujah.
Mighty name of Jesus.
Send your angels to those crack houses. Send your angels to the streets, oh God, where they're doing a crime. Send your
mighty
angels,
God.
God, to minister.
Send mighty
your God. Spirit of God to every
do
city.
It, Lord Jesus.
Mighty God around this world. Send your
do it, Lord Jesus.
God, to for the
do
soul.
It for us
fight
now, Lord.
Name of Jesus. You
healed and delivered and restored, Lord Jesus.
All our ways. Father God, we thank you right now.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Thank camp about God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
All power is in you, God.
Yes,
all
yes,
power
yes, yes, yes.
Your word, God. Lord God, we know your word.
Oh,
and
we bless you, Lord.
Word, God, that you want every man to live, oh God. Hallelujah. It is not
thank
your
you,
will
Jesus.
That any man perish, oh God. And we thank you right now, hallelujah, that people are getting up.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
People are waking up right now, waking up out of this pain.
Thank
wake
you,
up,
Jesus.
Wake up, hallelujah. Waking up, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Lord, thank you.
Lord hey, Jesus.
God, we thank you. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for
yes,
saving him,
Lord
Father.
Jesus.
Thank you for delivering him, God. Whatever it is, Father, you're able. You're able to do all things.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and we thank you now.
You're able, Lord.
I know, God, you're able. Hallelujah. You delivered
yes,
my brother.
Yes, Father God.
You delivered them, him, oh God. I remember the day
yes,
when
you're able, Lord.
After prayer, Father, you delivered him, and he said, I'll never do it again, God. God, I pray the same for people today, God, that they will be saying, I'll never do it again, because
Jesus,
you want to touch them.
Hallelujah.
You touch them, Lord. And like
thank
you touched
Lord.
My brother. You stood in the middle of the sidewalk, my God, and you said, I'll never do it again because I know I hurt God. I know I hurt my mom and my sister. My God and my brother never touched
Jesus.
Them again. He never touched them again, God.
Hallelujah,
he gave
Jesus.
It all, Father God. And we thank you, God.
Hallelujah,
for the same
Jesus.
Thing those who we're praying for today, God.
Oh, yes.
God. You knew their name before they entered
yes.
Oh, God, we send the word, my God, to the crack houses that they are delivered in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. We believe it, God.
Hallelujah,
it has already taken place.
Oh, bless your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Happening right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, thank you.
Bless
God,
the name of the Lord, Jesus.
I know you're able.
Bless
I
the name of the Lord, Jesus.
God, I've seen yoke destroyed, God. Oh, God, I say hallelujah.
Bless the name of the Lord, Jesus.
You're the same, God. You're
yes,
the same,
Lord. There's
Lord.
None like you, Lord. None like you, Lord. None like you, Jesus.
Never change, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we bless you. Lord, we bless you.
Thank you, Father.
We bless you and we praise you, oh God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
What do you have to hear this? Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, they are.
Oh, how we bless your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Transform it.
Jesus,
hallelujah, confirm it.
Hallelujah,
conforming God, transforming them, God, in the name of
glory,
Jesus, God.
Glory,
oh, God, thank
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, hallelujah. Release, God, releasing them. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ's name, amen. Oh, you're great, God.
Yes,
you're
Jesus, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so beautiful, Jesus. So great, Jesus. Hallelujah. So loving, so kind. So merciful.
Thank you, Lord.
Merciful, Jesus. Full of grace, God. Thank you for your amazing grace. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Wonderful, Savior. Beautiful, Jesus. Thank you, our Savior, our Holy Redeemer, and bless you. And we worship your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for the word, Apostle. The wonderful what I heard. Thank you, Lord. And what I got from it said, God. He's going to remove, restore, transform, conform. God is doing it. Hallelujah. And those that's in those pulpits, weed smoking, crack smoking, oh, God, all the addictions. Oh, God, you're going to shut it down. God's going to shut it down. Even if even some doors of the closed churches will be closed because of it. God is coming down with a hatchet. Hallelujah. And we have hope in God. And God will restore some of those pastors. He's going to restore some of his people. But some will be cut off. Lord God, we just thank you. Hallelujah. They're doing everything. They got the homosexuals on the pulpit. My God, they in the choir. My God. But you know what, Apostle? It's not just the homosexuals. People got to remember that sin is sin. If they prostitution with prostitution, fornication.
Sin is sin. That's right.
And they got all that on the altar, my God. And God is going to clean it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask God to do a clean sweep, and he's going to do it. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to do a clean sweep. Glory be to God. He's going to be cutting some off and restoring some. Hallelujah. But some are beyond that. Some are beyond that, just like it was with Saul. Some are beyond that. But, Lord God, we just thank you for those that's coming out, for those that's waking up. Hallelujah. As you do a shake-up in your church, God, they're waking up. I know they are, Apostle. They're starting to wake up, some of them. Hallelujah. But some want to stay where they are because of greed. It's all about greed. That's what it's about. But I thank you. I just hear that God is making it all change. A change is coming, even in his church, in his people. A change is coming. God's going to do it. And you got to walk right. I heard walk right. That's what the Beatitudes is about. If we follow those Beatitudes, we'll walk right because we'll do what Jesus is saying. That's a template of how to walk like a Christian ought to walk. Amen? So that's what I heard, that God is going to make a change. Amen? And it's, you know, all of this evil that's going on, God ain't sleeping. He know it is. And so I just thank God for the word. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, God, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for the prayer. Prayer was so powerful. That prayer was so powerful. And I was hearing a lot of stuff while you were praying. And thousands of people are going to die in the train derail in Chicago. Ohio, well, thousands of people are going to die. Thousands of people are going to die. And we have taken it lightly. The man was saying last night, he said that the train was carrying a very deadly with chemical. He says how the chemical become deadly. And when they blow it up to try to destroy it, he says that the fire caused some molecule in the chemicals to activate. He says, and it's not like nuclear fusion, he called it, would dissolve after a certain amount of time. He said, but this particular chemical, once it is activated by fire, it will not dissolve. He says it's going to be around for years. He says he said thousands of people are going to die. This is a chemist that was talking this thing last night. He says thousands of people. He said they're not telling the people the full truth. He said those people that still live in there that don't want to leave their homes and the government tell them that it's okay to stay, they're going to die. And what's going to happen, they're going to get a form of cancer that they cannot heal. Only body can heal that kind of cancer is God. So when that man said that, I said, this is something serious. So you're looking and seeing all the stuff that they're doing and trying to do because they want to control population. God says, look, look at Africa. Look at Africa. Pray for Africa. Because this is what happened. Africa is completely dividing right now. The continent
is splitting, not an earthquake. The continent is splitting in half. God is separating Africa. There's a big hole going right up through Africa, like if it was an earthquake. It is just opening. It's just opening. Nobody don't know why it started. They're saying it's something to do with the axis of the earth and all that kind of stuff. Scientists went over there trying to figure it out. Nobody can figure it out. But God is splitting because they have a great period of deception in Africa. You have a lot of witchcraft. Lot of witchcraft. And guess what's going to happen? The witchcraft going to be on one side, and God's people going to be on the other side. You understand? The Bible says there's a gulf of fire between us and them. Oh, my God, I was saying it so clear. You know, Africa is where the Garden of Eden is. And the Garden of Eden is on one side, and the other side, you understand what's going on. You got all the warlocks and the witches on the other side. God is splitting the nation. He's splitting the continent. I saw that stuff. I said, wow. Crowds of people, they're on one side, and the crowds are on the other side. They can't get over. You can't jump over. The hole is so big. The crack is so wide. You can't drive over. You understand? So it's amazing what God is doing. A lot of people can't see it. And they can't see it. And he said it in a word. He said there will be a gulf between us and them. Between us and them. You can't go over there. They can't come over here. They can't come over here. That's the place. Africa is the place. Africa is the place. You know, there's a lot of politicians that are being arrested that don't tell you about. A lot of politicians being arrested and in jail right now. Reading something. Because of the crooked stuff that they've done. They've been doing a lot of stuff. A lot of stars, movies, artists, stars, male and female, is in prison right now. And watching all these people, that's the Lord. They don't tell nothing about this stuff because there are a lot of people being arrested from Hollywood for sex trafficking, human trafficking, all that stuff. They're inside the jailhouse. I mean, they ain't coming out. I was listening to it the other night, and all these, they was coming up with, they were putting all the names. They were putting the picture and the names and everything on the news. I said, Lord Jesus, you don't hear this stuff at all. They said, but all these people, sex trafficking and human trafficking and drug trafficking, all that stuff, they're resting them up. And we thanking God and praising God. Praising God for you all coming on today, breaking bread and Deacon Bishop, praying to prayer salvation. We're just praising God. God is faithful. Stay faithful. Remain to what God is saying, you know, because a lot of things going to happen. And I told you all this month, a lot of stuff happened this month. A lot of stuff happened already. A lot of stuff, even in my city. Oh, my Lord, is uproar in this city here. Uproar going on. And I told my wife, I said, I'm praying for you all the time. Every time you go door, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you because so much stuff is happening. I don't want you to get caught in the crossfire. I want you to pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to your surroundings. A lot of stuff is happening. But Satan is busy. Yeah. He know that his time is drawing nigh. And this is what God wants his people to stay faithful. He wants us to pray like he was praying just now. He wants us to preach, and he wants us to pray, and he wants us to praise. It's all three pieces. Preach, pray, and praise. He wants you to preach, pray, and praise. Why? Because we have to keep the atmosphere filled with the presence of the Lord. That's how the atmosphere gets filled. Preach, pray, and praise. You know, three pieces. As you do that, what's going to happen is that the atmosphere is going to become saturated. People are going to begin to get hit with the Holy Ghost. Don't even know why they're falling down. They're going to get hit with the Holy Ghost because the atmosphere is saturated. And that's what God is calling for now in these times that we're in. Here, the preacher said the other night, he says, the more we pray, the more we disturb the devil kingdom. The more we pray, the more we disturb his kingdom. You know.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So
That's what he's calling for. That's what he's calling for.
That's right. Praise and worship and prayer. Yeah. Exactly. That's what we're hearing. That's what we got to do. Prayer, prayer. More and more prayer.
Yeah.
Even more prayer than more preaching. We need more prayer. We need more.
That's right.
More reaching out. Prayer. You know, and
yeah.
That's what we've been doing. Amen. And all day
you
yesterday.
You need to touch the hem of his garment with prayer. Go on there and preach, prayer, and praise. You got to go in there.
That's right.
You got to go in there. Because, see, when you pray and you're talking to God, when you're preaching, you're talking to people. You know, God hears the preached word, but the preached word is for God and for the people, but God wants to pray and praise more. Pray and praise more, you know, because we're going to touch the hem of his garment. It's going to move him. It's going to move God. Pray and praise. Move God.
Oh,
you know, you're praying
hallelujah.
For God to move, and you're praising him for who he is. You know, you're praying, praising him for who he is, you know. And he's going to move. He's going to move. The enemy think he winning something, but he's losing. He's already lost, and he's even losing even more, you know, because he's losing the people that he thought that he can get, you see. So he's losing even more. He lost at the cross, and now he's losing now, because when we preach and we pray and we praise, people come to Christ. People come to Christ.
Amen.
Even
Amen
people
that
were thinking that they were going to commit suicide, they stopped. Say, I don't know what happened, but I don't feel like committing suicide anymore. You know, I was watching a program the other day, and this woman, she said she wanted to die so bad. I mean, it's something.
God.
Somebody started to pray for this other woman, and they begin to pray for her, and she said something happened to her. Something happened to her. She said, I don't know what it is, but I knew what happened to her. God touched her heart. And she said, I don't feel like I want to die no more. I want to. So the people started laughing and rejoicing. They were laughing and rejoicing at the same time because they started to pray for this lady. And they started laughing and rejoicing at the same time, rejoicing that it's the Lord God. How quick did God hear the prayer? How quick did God hear? The woman wants to kill herself. He was tired. She said, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel like I just want to die. I want to die. I want to jump off a building. You know, one lady, she's a Korean lady. She jumped before the train. This is a true story. She jumped before the train. When the train was coming, she jumped over, and she rolled. Then she jumped. It's just like if she was flying, and she rolled in line with the train. Instead of crossway for the train to cut in half, she fell and rolled in between the two tracks. So the train went right over her. She broke a leg. She broke a leg and broke one of her legs and one of her hands. But guess what? She's still alive. She had to go to the psychiatrist because she wanted to live a perfect life to please her mother and father. And she knows she had problems, mental problems, that she needed to talk to somebody. But in their religion, if you say you have mental problems, you are discarded as broken. You don't understand? Foolish, stupid stuff. So she didn't want to go to a psychiatrist because it would make her family look like they wasn't together, they're broken. And she jumped on the train track. The mother goes in the hospital to see her, and she was talking to the psychiatrist, and her mother was talking to somebody else. So when the mother came to the room, the mother heard her saying, I try my best to be all that I could be for my mother and father. I want to be the perfect daughter for my mother and father. But she just, because she says, she knows she had to talk to some. She needed to talk to somebody because she had a mental problem. She wanted to commit suicide. And the mama says, heard her. And the mama came in the room and says, overheard her, says, I didn't know that you was this way. And the mama said, we all need help. All of us need help.
And that's they both right.
Hugged and cried there in the hospital room. And now she's getting help. She's living. You know, this is what God is saying to us today. We all need help. We all need to seek him even more, because this is a desperate time, dangerous time that we're living in. You know, I see that even in Texas, they're building more bunkers. The rich people are buying bunkers for $500,000, over $1 million.
Wow.
You know, million-dollar bunkers. I mean, these huge bunkers. This man there, he was in the army before, but then he learned his stuff, and he came back and was going through some stuff, and he decided he would start building bunkers. He said he cannot build the bunkers fast enough. He got three warehouses where he built bunkers, and he got tractor trailers that would take him to the land and to take the backhoe to excavate the land. They got these big holes in the ground. They believe that they're going to be able to hide from God. They believe that if the earthquake come and if the tornadoes come and if the nuclear weapons release, that they're going to escape, or they're going to be so far underneath the ground. I said to myself, I was watching a man the other day. He said this particular millionaire, he wanted his hole to be in the ground at least 30 feet below ground level. And his thing is so tight that he can sustain. He can live down there for 3 years without coming top. I said to myself as I was watching it, I said, you know, he may escape the nuclear weapon or the gases that the government, different nerve gases that they release in the war, but he will not escape the reach of the hand of God. He will not escape the hand of God.
He can't escape.
I don't care how deep you dig that hole. Because the Bible says so. He can't. He can't care how deep you dig that hole. Can't escape the hand of God.
Can't escape him. They're trying. Oh, they do. They think they're trying. They think they got it going on, but they don't. So I'm gonna show them something. Give them. They got a rude awakening coming. Blow it up.
They got this strong belief now. They're saying this now, and the men now running around like fools, talking about they're getting pregnant. That's that. You foolishness. Foolishness. All they're gonna do is agitate God. That's all they're gonna do. Agitate God. They're gonna get God so angry. Yeah. Oh, they got two. You go on YouTube, you'll see them on there. They're on there now. They got two of them on there that say that they got the big belly. I don't know. I can't tell what they got inside their belly. I'm not even gonna try to analyze it. But they got two of them there on YouTube now. And this pastor Arthur, he's saying that the devil is so busy. He said, look at these fools. Look at them. And they're walking down saying that they're pregnant.
People believe that it's a man, but if they're pregnant, that's a man trying to be a woman. That's a man who wants to be a woman. And he's saying he's a man, but you wasn't made to be a man. You're a woman, so you having a baby. Now the devil want to make people think that that's really a woman. That's really a man, but it's really a woman. If that person on that group is really pregnant, that's a woman. You cannot get pregnant without a womb.
Ain't no man can get no pregnant without a womb. You ain't got no ovary.
No.
You ain't had no baby. Devil is something else, though. He's submit. That old slew for the submit. And got people believing that dumbness.
Because that woman has said, I'm a man. She has taken on being a man. That's what she thinks she really is a man. So the devil is making her say those things, that she's a man and she can have a baby. No, you're a woman. God made you a woman. If you're having a baby, you got a womb. And ain't no man got a womb. And no man is going to ever get to have a baby. I don't care what they try to do. That is not going to happen to Apostle.
No, not in my lifetime. God ain't going to see it because God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Ain't not going to happen.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Bishop, you can pray and close us out. I got to go to the store to buy some pipe fittings and stuff. And now she's going to her mother. She come back to pick me up now, so I got to get myself ready to go there and pick up these plates for them so I can finish this job tomorrow. If you pray and close this up, I would greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Apostle Millie was on the line, but I think she fell asleep. Here you go. Here you go.
Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us both in the presence of his angels to the only wise God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, brothers and sisters, stay blessed. And remember, praise the Lord every day.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise Amen. The Lord. Get Pastor Millie my love. Tell her we miss her. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
She don't have your number?
Oh. She has a number. I tell you, give her my love.
Oh, okay. I sure will. I think
yeah,
she's on
you know,
the line, but I hear.
Yeah, Pastor Millie never called me because, you know, from when we first started, when she came on here, that's why I don't call her, because when we first come on there, she says to me, she said, I don't want to call you, because she said, I respect your wife, and I understand what she's saying, you know, because, but I talk to a lot of women on the phone, on gospel, you know, not on any other way. I said, my wife understand when I'm talking to a woman on the phone is about Jesus, but you know, she called you and she give you her topics and stuff like that. And I appreciate that. That's fine. You know, I ain't got no problem with that. You know, I don't try to break that. I stick with that, you know.
So you're saying that she don't have to call you about anything, about a topic and or whatever, because you understand that she don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, I understand that. She never called me. She never called me about topics. The only time she would call me, Apostle, if you were going to the hospital or something like that. That's the only time.
Yeah, I think she did
you
call
know,
you
she
one
would,
time
call
when she hit me because I was in the hospital. Yeah. Yeah, she has a lot of respect for that. And I think one time she called and she had called to say that I was in the hospital. And I think Nancy and you were having a conversation or something. And she felt like she interrupted that. And I think that's what made her believe, especially that she shouldn't call, you know, I think because.
No, really, no time. When people call me, I just tell my wife, straight away, say, I got to talk to this person. I got a lot of people coming from different countries, and you'll be amazed, you know. But I thank God for that WhatsApp stuff, because I had a couple calls yesterday from, you know, from Canada and from Florida and from South Carolina and Georgia. But I tell my wife, I got to talk to this person, you know, because that's my job. You know, that's my job, and she's not going to stop that. I'm not, know that if somebody come on that phone and start talking sexist stuff, that I'm going to shut them up. She know that very well, and nobody going to come and talk to me that way. I'm not going to talk to nobody like that, you know, in that kind of manner. I respect Apostle Millie as a child of God. You know, I would never disrespect myself by saying something off the wall to her, you know, because that's not who I am, you know. That's not who I am, you know. So when I talk about Christ Jesus, you know. The only thing that I have I would have liked to see Apostle Millie call into the line, straight to the line, instead of coming through your line, because a lot of times it brings distraction. You know, I don't say nothing about it, but I'm seeing it now. You know, it brings distraction. You say, well, I got to get Millie on, and all that time we're still recording. Or Millie just drop off, you know. But if she's on the line through her phone, she can pull in herself, you know, I can pull her in or something like that. But that's the only distraction that they get, you know. It brings distraction, you know. I don't mind when the dog bark, because my dog bark too. My dog like the gospel. I mean, she comes and lay up on the bed. My desk is right next to the bed. And we got a pad on the bed for her. She goes on that bed. She lays on her pad. And she watched me when I'm preaching. She knows what time the line got to come on. That dog will stay in the bed till 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, she'll jump right off that bed. He know That's I got to turn that computer on. That dog know exactly, you know. If I don't turn on that computer, she looks at me like, you're not doing nothing today? You know, that's how she look at me. And I read her thoughts. She said, you look at me like, you're not going to have no service today? I said, yeah, I'm going to turn on the computer. When I'm going to work, I have to tell her. I tell her, you're looking for me, especially in the week. She says, she looks at me. I said, well, I'm going to do some work. I'll be back. You take care of the house. And she'll lay on the pad. But as soon as I leave a parcel, that dog is so smart. She'll lay on her pad. We got a big pad and special Indian cotton thing with leaves and stuff for her. She will leave, stay right there at the end of the bed while we're at the house. I'm going out. Nancy, go out to work tomorrow. I go to work. And soon as we get out the door, that dog go move the pillow, and she go lay right up there. She moved the pillow and go lay right up there because I told her, don't worry about it. She just wants to smell our scent. As long as she smells our scent, she's comfortable because she don't like to be alone. She don't like to be alone. And as soon as she hears come to the house, she hear the car, she jumps down. And she goes stay in the foyer like she was waiting there for us. She had to go. Well, I touched the bed, I could feel the heat from her body still on the bed. I told my wife, you know, the dog was laying right up there. I said, she was laying right up there because the place, the heat, you could feel the heat on the pillow, on the bed. Yeah. She's usually made to move the pillow. She don't lay on the pillow. She moved the pillow, and she make her several little spots to lay up there, curl up in there like a little ginger roll.
Yeah, they
we thank God for you all. We praising God, praising God for you all. And we hope you can come on back and preach for the people of God and God's people as soon as you get time. Okay? We love you guys, as always. God bless.
We can come back. You just let us know, and I'll see. If I'm not, just let us know. Let us know. Text us.
All right,
us
I will
us
let,
know
you know, what, let you know.
Whatever.
Yes,
we don't
this
know
place that I'm going to, this place that I'm going tomorrow, I can't have the computer there because it's a bad, even with the phone, it's bad signal there in this place. And it's about an hour and 15 minutes away in Falls River. So I'm just going to go in there and knock this job out and get back in. I already got the furnace working. I had to jump out some things to get it working. So I ordered the parts that I need so I can close up the doors and stuff for them tomorrow and get paid and get back home. Then I'll call you and let you know, depending on what times you got available. All right?
Okay.
God bless. Keep that woman in prayer, though, Diane. You know who she is, too. You know who she is, but you know who she is. I just don't want to record everything on her, you know, because a lot of people listen. But you know who she is. And we'll talk to you later. All right? God bless and thank you again. Thanks, Bishop.
Okay, he can't hear you. He's in the kitchen. I'll tell him you said thank you. Okay, that's her. She's snoring. She's still on the line. Okay, bye-bye.